Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Sam Knickerbocker. Sam is all about fueling and building your legacy. And he has 9 pillars to build a legacy. It's a free ebook that he does offer. We're going to be uncovering, you know, what legacy is, what does it really mean? Because it's kind of a buzzword that I hear a lot, you know, in terms of things. And I feel like people can use it kind of loosely and stuff, but like it's a real thing, you know? And I'm really excited just to hear about this because it's something that I hear from people all the time. It's like, I do want to leave some sort of legacy. So we're going to get clear on what that really looks like for you today and how you can actually really go about it. So how are you doing today, Sam?
I'm doing awesome. Yeah. Super grateful for you having this and inviting me on.
Yeah, dude. Super pumped. Legacy. Would you agree that legacy is a buzz term? Like it gets tossed around kind of loosely?
Yeah, I agree. Almost like what used to be authentic, now authentic doesn't really mean anything. Legacy can be that way. I think that it has come in more now with more options on the table through social media. Now people are trying to hone in and be like, hey, what's the real thing that you want to accomplish? And because now we have access to so much more, we're aware of so many more things that we could do. So it actually, when you get far enough out, it forces you back in. It gets like, okay, well, if I could do anything now, what do I really want to do? Because now it used to be you were raised, your dad was a farmer, you're a farmer, your kids are going to be farmers. Your dad works in the machine shop. And it just keeps going that way. But now it's not like that. Now anybody can do anything. You can make millions of dollars doing anything. So if you can do anything, then how do you actually want to be remembered? And that's the key to, I believe, leaving a meaningful legacy is being very clear on how do you want to be remembered and then living your life intentionally to that end. And I've interviewed people on my podcast, the Fuel Your Legacy Show, and they've mentioned, you know, in the beginning of their lives, when they are 20, 25, 30 years old, they had one goal to be a legacy. And many of them, they left a legacy in that area. And then they transitioned. Think of, I mean, Tom Brady's a good example, right? He left a legacy in the football arena as being the athlete, but now he's going into this next stage of his life. And what's his next legacy going to be? So you can have multiple legacies throughout your life. You don't have to settle on just one. But if you try and do too many at the same time, it's going to be very difficult to accomplish any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Being focused is huge. I love what you mentioned about, like, you know, if you grew up in a family of like farmers or maybe lawyers is really big. Like I grew up in a family where my dad made his legacy of like building this huge reputation as a pipe fitter, which was construction work. And it was in very prestigious union, you know, it was like the highest paid union in the world. He made 6 figures and that he was like secure, had crazy good benefits and all that. And that's what he wanted me to pursue. So I did it. And then doing it, I realized like, I don't want to do this. So I didn't want to carry on my dad's legacy. Instead, I wanted to pave my own, which was to do the work I'm doing today, which was being like an entrepreneur and starting. So I love that example of like, you know, it's the passing down, which is legacy. But when you want to fuel your legacy, it's like, well, what's the path? Do you want to be remembered as the farmer or as the lawyer? Or do you have something different pulling inside of you that says like, I want to pave my own path? And that's kind of what I'm getting from you. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think your dad and you is a good example. I know what's funny for me, my dad and mom, when I was growing up, they all worked at Pizza Hut. And when I turned 18, I actually went and got a job at Pizza Hut as well. I lasted about 2 months and I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work.
Seen it.
Obviously, their whole career wasn't in Pizza Hut, but it was something that we both did. We had in common. What's even funnier is that before I really became aware, my dad was working in the similar industry or trying to work in the industry that I work in now with a similar company that was kind of a predecessor to the current company that I'm with. And so in many ways, I actually have done a lot of what he did. But by the end, when I became aware, he was working as a DSL troubleshooter for CenturyLink. But I think what's really fascinating about the legacy is I bet that if I saw your dad and you, there's certain characteristics, there's certain things that you value, even though the occupation may be different, the value system I would imagine is pretty similar, unless you really didn't like his example. And then you chose an opposite set of values based on what you believed was a bad example going forward. And even that is a good legacy. Not that that person was a great example, but if that person's existence kind of taught you or forced you into becoming who you are today, then that's not necessarily a bad legacy. They created great outcomes.
Mm, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, my dad is like all about timeliness. His whole mentality is like, if you're on time, you're late, you know, that kind of thing. So it's like being early, being prepared. He always taught me about preparation, and I still stick with that today. It's huge and helped me in my business, you know, but yeah, the occupation is totally different. You know, being good at what you do. He was a welder. That was like his claim to fame. And he was like the welder. Like people would have a welder on their job, and then they would call my dad in to like fix the work that the other welder was doing, because he just did a great job and he always had a good time with the work that he was doing. And I couldn't find that kind of joy in doing the same line of work, but I do in doing what I do now. So mm-hmm. I love that you mentioned that, because it's like those character traits that aren't, it's not like you're totally changing everything. Maybe you are, kind of depends on the situation, but still bringing in those different character traits as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. So you worked at Pizza Hut, and then you, what made you decide to kind of start like this brand? Because, you know, I interview experts because I want people to hear from different people who are actually doing the thing of sharing their knowledge, turning that into an income. So what made you decide to like start this venture? And then how did you kind of like turn that into a business and kind of get it to where it is today?
Sure. Yeah. So great question. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I was actually going to the dump or coming home from the dump. I don't know which one. Let's say I was coming home from the dump with my grandfather in his little red Ford Ranger pickup, metal grates on the back, out in Grantsville, Utah. So the sun was beating down on us, nice warm air flowing through the windows. Radio was on. He reached over, put his, turned down the radio, put his wrinkled hand on my knee and said, "You know, Sam, your voice is pleasant to listen to. You're going to be a great leader one day, maybe even be on the radio." And then he just turned the radio back up and we went on our way. Now I'm the 7th of 11 children. And today that is the first memory that I have of somebody older than me really identifying a specific gift that I had, calling it out and believing in me and giving me an identity to shoot for, giving me something bigger than myself to shoot for. And there's the value of mentorship, the value of somebody who can see something bigger than you is so important. And I would say that was kind of the genesis. I didn't know that moving into it, but I did know that being the 7th of 11 kids, life was rough. My parents were Pizza Hut drivers. So imagine like feeding 11 children on pizza scraps. We went dumpster diving for food in the Albertsons parking lot occasionally. I mean, just not great life. And with that came some social issues that I thought were just family issues, but became, as I became more aware, I realized they were social issues, anxiety, depression, domestic violence, things that really in an ideal world wouldn't exist in a family unit. Now that doesn't mean that that we live in an ideal world or that they don't, but ideally, how could we minimize that? So when I went to college, I actually went to school for neuropsychology to teach people or to learn how we ended up in our situation as a family and how could I help other people avoid that in the future. And so this whole thing kind of comes to a head when I realized that if I keep going down the neuropsychology path, I'm going to spend 12, 13, 14 years in school. I'm going to end up being in $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 worth of debt. And I'm going to graduate and I'm going to be making maybe $200,000 a year. If I'm like PhD, publishing all the time, owned by an institution. And I was like, this just isn't going to work for me. This is not the lifestyle that I actually want to build. I was aware that I wanted to have more contribution to my faith. I wanted to have more time with my family than I got to have with my dad and mom. I wanted to have certain lifestyle that wasn't going to be conducive if I went down this career path. And I think that's an important thing for everybody to ask themselves. If I interview 20, 30, 40 years down the road of the people in the career path that I'm in, am I going to be okay with that lifestyle? Because yes, due to inflation, you're going to be making more money than they are, but the lifestyle is probably going to be pretty comparable also because of inflation. You know, life is going to continue to cost more. So is that the life that you want or not? Number one. Number two, is it actually providing the contribution that you want? So I had to ask myself, do I want to be on the side of reparative work, helping people who have already been damaged? And I mean damaged loosely and lovingly. You went through some, if you study neuropsychology, you'll understand what I mean, but damage. Or do I want to work on the preventative side and help people prevent a lot of these social issues. So I started doing more research into the side of like, well, where do these start to come up? And it came to me that the best area that I could promote people or help people is by teaching them how money works. So then I started learning how money works myself, started teaching others. And what I found is that so many people, they want to have a legacy. They want to be remembered a certain way. The biggest regret or deathbed wish is that people remember them a certain way and that they would have lived their life more passionately and more intentionally. And so I'm thinking, well, why don't people live their life more intentionally? Why don't people do the things that they want to do? And it came down to one of two things. They either don't have the time, or they don't believe they have the time, or they don't believe they have the financial resources to do what they want to do. And so it's not so much about the legacy as much as what is fueling your legacy? What is the fuel that's going to get you to do the thing that you need to do? What's the fuel that's going to get you to live the way you want to live? And sometimes that's financial fuel, but a lot of times it comes down to clarity and priorities. And if you can align your clarity and your priorities, then you'll find a way to make the money. You'll find a way to make the time. You'll find a way to do the things you need to do, but only if you're clear on your objective and your outcome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's huge. There's a great example I heard in this sales training. It's on Amazon actually, like Audible, and it's called How to Persuade and Get Paid by Phil M. Jones. It's a really good training. It's like a recorded workshop. And then he has like sessions where he's doing the workshop, and then he has little kind of like recaps. But he talks about the game of darts. You know, it's like you have the goal of hitting the bullseye, like triple 20, I think is what it is, yep. You know? And that's the goal. And if you explain that and you're like, that's the bullseye, that's where you're going for, you're going to try and shoot the bullseye. Is it going to get nail the bullseye? You know, maybe it's challenging. That's where darts is a game. But if I like didn't explain it to you and I just handed you darts, you could throw it in the wall. Like you could just throw it off to the side or whatever you want, because you wouldn't understand what the goal is and what the out, like that's the mission is to get that. And he was talking about, you know, when you're thinking about your avatar, who you want to work with, like it's really, that's why it's important to have a general idea of like, this is the perfect person for me, but I'm going to nail all around it, you know, but it's always going towards that kind of thing. So I love that with legacy and kind of thinking about that. I want to know, Sam, with you, because you're really big on legacy and you have a lot of stories and stuff, but what is your legacy?
Yeah, so it's a good question. And it has shifted over time. So an example of when maybe my legacy was not as clear, I went to a mastermind with my wife out in Florida, and we were sitting there discussing what brings us fulfillment, what's actually fulfilling to us. And I was sitting there, and we're maybe 3.5 years into our marriage. We've got two kids, like 2-year-old and then a brand new baby that's maybe 6 months old. So very stressful time of life. If you have kids, you know. If you haven't, I'm excited for you to have children. They're the best thing on the planet, and they definitely make you realign your priorities. So I'm sitting there and we're going through this, and it was an exercise where we list for 20 minutes, no talking, everybody's silent, and they're writing down all the things that fulfill them in life. Okay. And I'm sitting there and I'm just furiously writing. I've got 2 or 3 pages by the end of this exercise. And I look over and my wife has 2.
Wow. And
that was the moment that I realized that if I just focus on me, if I just focus on what I want out of life, I'm going to get it. And that's the most exciting thing, is that you're going to get what you focus on in life. And people need to believe that and be confident in that. The other side of that is, if you just focus on what you want out of life and not lifting up the people around you, then they're going to not get it. They're not going to get what they want out of life. And so there's a big mantle for me to show other people how to live their legacy. So I really believe that if I interacted with the world and I get remembered by, you know, Sam had a decent life, but every time I was in the presence of Sam, he helped me focus more and believe more that I could achieve what I want to achieve. That would be the best legacy for me, that when somebody is in my presence, they believe more in their ability to achieve their best dream, not adopt mine, not be a bandwagoner of Sam's dreams. But if they're around me, they believe that they can get their dream. And that's the legacy that I'm building right now. And being very intentional with how do we help people accomplish that?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I've always had this dream before I even knew like what coaching was when I was in construction. I like to say that you can tell how much you enjoy your work by how much time you spend in the bathroom, because I would hide in the bathroom and just be on my phone like researching other things that I can do. And I was sitting there like learning about coaching, and I thought it was awesome, but I always had this dream of like, I wish that I could do some line of work and help people where I could just help them like be the best that they can be. And it was like literally just coaching was like born for me. It was the perfect fit. But I want it to be where it's normal when you bump into someone you haven't seen in a long time in the grocery store, for example, that you could see that the person is healthy and fit and that they're glowing, not just based on their fitness, but like their energy as well. Like there's clarity of mind, that kind of stuff. They have a relationship or they're talking very highly about the people in their life and how much they admire and like love the people in their life and their wife or their spouse, you know, and that they're also doing work that they fully enjoy. And like they're doing well for themselves. They have time to enjoy their life. Like I wish that that was normal to see people, because right. it's never normal. It's always like they're really out of shape. They got some health disease or something. They're having like 15 to 20 pills that they have to take every day. Or they're not enjoying the work that they're doing and it's just draining them. Or they're talking bad about their spouse and having a toxic relationship. And it's like, I am living that life now to an extent. Obviously, it's like I have vision to grow it more, you know, and be a more shining example of that. But like, I prioritize my health, what I'm eating and stuff. I have a great relationship with my girlfriend, you know, and taking care of her too. She is officially like, I support us both now, which was a dream of mine. I was like, I want to be in a position where I can do that. You know, it's like, you don't have to work unless you want to. And she's never had the opportunity to actually pursue other things in her life because she's always had to work to pay the bills, you know, and it's like, she has to work, not doing things that make her money because she enjoys that and creativity. But now she gets to choose and explore other avenues of things she's always wanted to do and make money doing it, because she does want to make her own money. So it's just, yeah, that's just like, I get to actually live that example. And that's kind of, from my understanding, kind of my legacy as well. But I love what you said about like inspiring other people.
So yeah, I would just ask, think bigger, because again, I'm going to challenge you a little bit, because here's another aspect of what I believe a smart legacy is. So we've all heard of smart goals before. Mm. Smart goals are specific, measurable, actionable, you know,
attainable, relevant, time bound.
Relevant, time bound. Right. I always forget them because I think
it's all good.
I don't like those. Like, I understand the value of the SMART goal system and why it was created. But from a legacy perspective, you got to think bigger. You got to go way bigger, like 10x bigger. And so for me, I think about, and I love the example, I may steal it from you, but like you
do
it. How much you love your work by how much time you spend in the bathroom. This is key for the first one of the SMART goals for a SMART legacy. A SMART legacy, the S it stands for sexy. It has to be so sexy, so captivating of the mind that you can't stop thinking about it. That every second you just want to get into the bathroom and be with yourself and this sexy idea, right? It doesn't have to be anything immoral, but just you want to be with this thing that is like, man, I cannot stop thinking about this. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm not going to watch Netflix. I'm going to watch all the Netflix I can about this one topic, but it has to be sexy. So the first S is sexy. And then it has to be so massive that you can't accomplish it yourself. I think if you have a legacy that you can actually accomplish all by yourself, it's probably not that big. And that doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but if you can accomplish it all by yourself, then you don't have to tell anybody else about it, which means it's not going to really be how you get remembered because you didn't tell anybody about it. And so the M for your legacy or your SMART legacy has to be so massive that you must enlist other people. Okay. Now, A is audacious. It has to be audacious. Now, people are like, why would you want this audacious thing? Don't you want to invite everybody to be part of your legacy? You do want to invite everybody to be part of your legacy. However, not everybody is going to accept your invitation. And it's probably better that half of the people that do accept your invitation are there to watch you burn. They're there to not believe in you. They're there to say, I don't believe this is possible. And the reason that it's important to have that half of the tribe there, the audacious, the people who don't believe in you, is because they need to believe. They need to see it happen. There's always a doubting Thomas, and it's okay. The doubting Thomas can be saved too. They just need to see it first. And that's okay. Some people operate on faith. Some people operate off of seeing. That's fine. Show them that it can be done. So it needs to be audacious. You need to have both sides of the equation there. And then are. It has to be remarkable. What if nobody's ever been on James's podcast before? Nobody's ever heard of James's podcast. Well, is his podcast so great that when somebody hears it, they're sharing it. They want to share this because it's remarkable. Okay. So that's another aspect of having a smart legacy. It has to be sexy, that it captivates your attention. It has to be so massive that you have to tell other people about it to get the job done. It needs to be audacious, that when people hear about it, it creates separation. And then it needs to be remarkable, that people are going to talk about it. The last thing is the key. You could have all of those, but if the T is not around, then it doesn't matter. And the T is transparency. You have to be willing to share the journey, not just the end. Not once you get there, you have to be willing to share the entire journey through the process from where you started to the end, document it, because that is what's going to help the person who came from the situation where they didn't believe it was possible. You grew up in the same crappy, crummy old town with the same family situations, the same financial situations, and one of you became a multimillionaire or a billionaire or a trillionaire. Why? What was the process? How can we duplicate that process? And so transparency is key in building a smart legacy. So when you're thinking, okay, well, this is my dream, how do we get more people to feel that way in the grocery store? I love it. More people need to know, hey, this is my goal. When I'm meeting you, my objective is that the next time I talk to you, you're happier, you're more optimistic, you're speaking better. And even if they don't do it with anybody else in their life, next time they talk to you, what are they going to be doing?
Yeah, showcasing it, being like, guess what?
Exactly.
And that's like, that's kind of the ripple effect that I always dreamed of. I love the SMART, you know, framework for legacy. I think that's really cool and creative. But I have people in my life who do that. Like they know, they hear, like they just talk and get curious about what I'm doing. And I like share, like I have my business, you know, and then, oh, I like to do CrossFit, you know, and I'm doing a CrossFit competition and that kind of stuff. That's what I enjoy doing. And I had this one guy who was talking about, and he was like, you know, a bit more heavy set. I've known him for a while. And he was just like, I started doing CrossFit, and I was like, dude, that's awesome. And he was like, yeah, man, like I'm feeling great. You know, I'm like, you know, lifting more and that kind of stuff. And he has just been like slimming down every time I see him, you know, and just getting in better shape. But it's like, I got to spark something inside of him that caused him to do that just by leading by example. And that's mm-hmm. kind of like a piece of it, you know? So
yeah, that's magical. I love it. I think, and so often people don't remember to celebrate with the other people around them. Anytime I hear of success, I'm like on the phone immediately. And they're like, well, how'd you hear about this? I'm like, I just heard from this person went through the grapevine, but I wanted to personally call you and celebrate with you. This is a major win. I don't care if you made 10 bucks. My sister-in-law, she loves quilting. I mean, they love it. It's nothing more than her and her husband.
Oh, yeah.
And they started selling patterns online, and they haven't made a ton yet. They've made a few hundred dollars, maybe a little over 1,000. But as soon as they made $50, I was like, hey, this is working. How do we share it more? So I got some content, created reels for them. Like, I want to help them build, not because it profits me at all, other than I get to see one more person who's thriving and happy with what they're doing. And that juices me up like nothing else.
Yeah. Amazing. I just talked to someone the other day and they were like, yeah, I just sold my first like digital product. And I was like, really? Like completely hands off? They were like, yeah, like didn't even meet the person or anything. They were like, yeah, but it was like $9. I was like, that's amazing. That's so cool. Like the fact that you sold anything without meeting someone, you know, it's not hundreds of dollars, which is always fun when you get there. But like, even still, just it's a small win. But they were like, yeah, you're right. You know, that is pretty cool. So I love that. And that's just like, that's contagious energy. I have a business coach of mine, and he hits home on us so hard about energy, you know, when it comes to like enrolling clients and stuff. But he's just like, relationships are everything. And he's like, do the things that other people aren't doing, like what you just talked about, you know, calling, celebrating. Someone that I know who is a prospective client, we're going to be chatting, you know, here in the next week or so. They on social media had some posts asking for like feedback on some survey thing that they were doing. And I was the first person to fill it out. And I was just like, hey, just filled it out for you. You know, just like those little pieces of kind of support and filling it out and like giving genuine feedback or whatever it is that they're doing and encouragement with their journey. Like that stuff's huge. And it just sets like a, you know, if you're calling me and celebrating like my first win with a client, I'm like, Sam called me. So random. Like, I mean, you met him in person. He's just like this online dude, you know, but like you're celebrating with me. Like that's, you stay in my mind forever because you stood out among everybody else who's just trying to take, and you just were giving.
Sure. Yeah. And even with public speaking, because I love speaking on stage and getting out. And my first event, somebody paid for my ticket to go to my first event.
Mm.
And I'm so grateful for it. It completely changed my life. You know, I've invested at this point hundreds of thousands of dollars into my personal development and education. And it all started because somebody was like, you know what, you're worth getting there so you can see the vision. Even if you don't believe you're worth $100 right now, you're worth getting there so that you will believe you're worth it at the end of it.
Mm.
And you know, that started 8 years ago. And since then, now every time I speak at an event, I'm paying for two or three people to show up.
Mm.
Why? Because I know what it can do for them. And I don't care if you're a seasoned person in business or you're brand new, you don't have nothing going on and you just need to show up. I'll cover the cost of two to three tickets for every event that I speak at, because I value what that does so much for that person's life. I don't know what's going to change. Maybe nothing changes, but maybe one time it does.
Mm.
And if one more person believes in themselves more, then it's a win.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love it, man. So Sam, I want to ask you, based on your career as an entrepreneur, you know, building a business around sharing your knowledge online too, and turning that into an income, what's something that you wish someone would have told you early on?
Two things. One is track everything. Like track, get a good CRM. And once you get a name, number, email, don't ever get rid of it. Right? That is such a powerful thing to understand in the beginning. It's so often when people are like, man, I don't know, this guy blew me off, he's not interested. Just track everything. Keep all your data, back it up in multiple places, because you're going to lose data at some point. So that's the biggest thing, is track well. So many people think, I'll track once I have enough. Once you have enough, it's overwhelming to go backwards. It's overwhelming to go and try and go backdate all the tracking. Just start tracking properly. And that's in any business, whether it's online sales, in-person sales, whether it's just providing a service. I have clients right now who are, they do, what's that called? Estheticians, right? So they're doing waxing and hair and all that stuff. Well, you don't think about the detail that a major corporation would put into that a smaller business just often doesn't. But when I sit down with a client, I go through all their margins by simply tracking what they're actually using and purchasing smarter. You can bump 10, 12%, sometimes 20% profit margin off of not increasing your prices just by being more intentional about how you're providing the service. And so understanding those little things is crucial in any business. So that would be the first thing, track everything and keep your own data. The second thing I would say is find a good mentor. In a recent video I did, it's on YouTube, Facebook, everything. But this one piece of advice I didn't have when I grew up in the business, and that is, dream as big as you can, and then go find somebody who thinks your dream is small and can see so much more in you, and then follow that person. Because we get limited by our own beliefs. That's the thing that stops us from winning in business. And so you have to dream as big as you can, share your dream, be transparent, share your legacy, and then you're gonna find people who are like, oh my gosh, you're never gonna be able to do it. But then you're also gonna find people who are like, you know what? That's a good 1 year goal, not a lifetime goal. And you're like, what? How could I do this in 1 year? How could I do more in a lifetime? And then they say, look, here's how. And they break your goals down to a 6 month or a 1 year goal. And you're like, wow, you're right. I can do so much more. So have some people in your life who believe so much more than you believe.
Yeah. That's so big too. Cause like, it is a game of like beliefs and awareness and experience too, but like those things come from beliefs and awareness. Cause if you're aware of something, a small shift that I can do and I just can't see it, then I'm like, oh wow. Like I've helped my clients with that and they're just like, I didn't think about it like that. And it's like, that opens a whole new door to like a whole new bracket of income, you know, that I can have in my business. And they just don't even think about it, because there's a great saying on this that I learned from one of my first mentors, Mary Morrissey. She was who I went through my coaching institute when I was first getting started. Amazing, amazing teacher. But she said, it's hard to see the big picture when you're the one in the frame.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we hire coaches.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just crazy that when I sit down with clients and I'm going through kind of their dreams, going through their time and their money, they think, man, I don't have any time to make any more money. And you break down every 30 minutes where you're spending your time, it's real easy to find an extra 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah. Okay.
Super easy. And you work an extra 2 or 3 hours a week. Now that's an extra 30 hours or 90 hours a month, you basically have way more time than everybody else. And same thing with money. The number of people I meet with are like, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I can't afford coaching. I can't afford investing in my business. I can't afford this. And you go through where you spent every penny of your money for the last 90 days, last year. Most of my clients are finding an extra $500 to $1,500 a month. And these people are making only $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month. It's not like they're super rich people.
Eating out all the time, money. All that stuff. It's like.
Exactly. It's eating out. It's convenience. It's all the stuff that's really, really skimming their tank. And it's like, man, if you were just intentional with your funds, and that's what I love about my job is I don't have to tell people how to be. It's just like your coach probably didn't have to tell you how to be. They were there to just bring your awareness to another level. And once you saw it, you can't unsee it. And you're like, oh, okay. I just need to do this, this, and this different. And they're like, exactly. Right. They didn't have to tell you what to do different. They showed you, or they allowed you to see, put you in the right environment to see what you needed to change. And then you were inspired in spirit to go change those things.
Yeah. Love it, dude. So good. Sam, we're going to come in here for a landing right now, but where can people learn more about you and get connected?
Yeah. So samknickerbocker.com is my website. Sam.knickerbocker is my Instagram. Great place to connect with me. I'm dropping content there every day. Also on my podcast, The Fuel Your Legacy Show is another incredible place to connect with me. But if you go directly onto my website, you can actually schedule a 20-minute discovery call with me. And I'd just love to meet you. You know, if there's anything that I can do to support you, I want to support you. And if it's all it is you text me and say, hey, I just accomplished this, I'll freaking call you and celebrate with you. Winning is so valuable, and we need more people celebrating the wins.
Love it. Right on. We'll put a link down to Sam's website down in the description. For the listener, we talked a lot about legacy, and it's really just kind of being intentional about the path that you want to lead for yourself, but also the impact that you want to make for others, and yeah, how you want to be remembered. And it gets pretty granular from there. So I would definitely listen to this episode again about like the SMART. I love the SMART framework for creating your legacy and all that. It's good stuff. But this is like why we do what we do. You know, it's not just about let's make as much money as possible. It's like let's inspire other people so you can do kind of, you know, what we were talking about, where like people talk to you and then they're like, I want to do something like that. And the next time they see you, they're like, I did it. And you're like, that's amazing. It's so cool. And like, that's the ripple effect that legacy can have. So the biggest thing though, is that I hope you got inspired from this episode. More importantly, do something with the information you get inspired with. Implementation is your only superpower. So take what you learned here, get out there, make something happen. We'll see you in the next one.